If we don't already know it, lately it just seems like the bottom, so to speak, is in the process of falling out of our country. But what's new? That's been going on for a long, long time, and will continue to go on as time goes by. Hate groups want to have their way. Those who don't agree with the hate groups can be hateful themselves. And they may even hate the hate groups. It's time, or perhaps past time, to say some things about hatred. Anger fuels hatred. The fire, so to speak, rages hot within some people, and it spews out in acts of violence and offensive words. Hatred can even spill into churches, and yes, even into sermons. Churches need to recognize that there's a line that they can cross. And at that moment, they stop being spiritual and start becoming political. And we need to watch out for that. There is plenty of hate going on and going on in this world and in this country. We need to look at ourselves and make sure that we have the right attitudes ourselves. Let's consider some things that the Bible says about hatred. By definition, it means enmity or hostility. It's the opposite of love. It's a work of the flesh. It's mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, along with other sins that when committed, if not repented of, will cause us to end up in hell forever. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, it's a characteristic of one who is not walking with God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God. The carnal mind as opposed to the spiritual mind. The carnal mind cares nothing about God's law. The carnal mind cares nothing about what God's law says about how we ought to behave ourselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul, the reason why he wrote that first letter to Timothy was to give him instructions on how he was to behave himself in the church of God. As Christians, we need to learn how to behave ourselves if we're not already doing that. The carnal mind ignores what God has said in His Word. The carnal mind is against God. The carnal mind opposes all that's good and righteous and just. It is an enemy of God. It is an enemy of God's law. Because what it does, it places our own will above God's will. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, hatred has no place in the heart of a Christian. John said that even if we hate a brother in Christ in the heart, we are guilty of murder. That's how serious it is. When we think about hatred, in reading about the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, we learn that Jesus crossed all kinds of cultural barriers. In John 4, he met the Samaritan woman at the well. In Matthew chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10, he included a tax collector, a publican, Matthew, to be one of his apostles. In Luke chapter 7, he went to the home of Simon, a self-righteous Pharisee. In Matthew chapter 15 and verses 21 to 28, Jesus miraculously healed a Canaanite woman's daughter. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 is where Jesus gave the great commission to his apostles for them to go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, if we as Christians are going to be followers of Christ, since Jesus crossed cultural barriers, we should be colorblind to race. We need to recognize that we all are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, Paul said that from Adam, from one blood, came all the different nations, all the different peoples, all the different ethnic groups. We don't need to forget that. We're all God's children, in the general sense of that phrase. We need to be colorblind to race. Another thing we need to do in helping us deal with this is we need to stop talking about them. Them and us, that kind of language can be divisive. It's not biblical. And it shows ignorance. We need to stop talking about people who are different than we are as if they're aliens from another planet. They're human beings. And they bleed just like we bleed. And they hurt just like we hurt. And they can be happy just as we can be happy. You know, it's easy to treat those who are different from us religiously in the same way. Treat them as less than being made in the image of God. And that's not right. Just because we disagree with them religiously is no excuse for us to hate them. We can hate ethnic groups, we can hate nationalities, we can hate race, we can hate sex, we can even hate education. And all that's not good. So if we're involved in talking like them and us, we need to stop talking like that. It's not them, it's not us. It's all of us together. Each and every single one of us. There is no reason, now hear me well on this, there is no reason for a Christian to hate anybody for any reason. We also need to stop generalizing. All whites, fill in the blank. All women, fill in the blank. All husbands, fill in the blank. God has made all of us in His image, every single one of us. And we've got to look at the Bible from heaven down, from God's viewpoint to us, the way it was delivered, and not through the color of our skin. What color was Adam? The first man that God made. The first perfect man. The first sinless man. What color was Adam? We can look at the common races in that general area, and we can make a guess about what color he was. But that's all it is. It's a guess. We do not know what color of skin Adam had. And it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference at all. Because we've all come from Him, every single one of us. Was Eve the same race as Adam? We assume she was. But is that assumption correct? When and where did the different races enter the picture? Was it at the Tower of Babel when God changed the languages? Was it after the flood in Noah's day and the people spread out all over the world? We don't know. The Bible does not tell us. And guess what? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. God, in His infinite wisdom, is not a respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. He's not prejudiced. God does not hold up one race of people as superior to another race of people. Now, what God does hold up is a person that has an obedient faith in Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what's most important. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15. God put a mark on Cain. God cursed Cain because he murdered his brother Abel and put a mark on him. You ever stop to realize that that verse has been taught by white people as referring to dark skin? There are some people out there that teach that. How do we know that the curse was not white skin? Nothing in Genesis chapter 4, in the context either before or after, states that the mark on Cain would be passed down to future generations. Don't be deceived by people who would tell us otherwise. It's just not there. And as we all know, by looking at the human family as a whole, some people are tall. Other people are short. Some people are skinny. Others are not. Some have red hair. Some have brown hair. Some have blonde hair. Some have a big nose. Some have a pug nose. Some have dimples. Some have warts. Some have long feet. Some have short feet. Some people have long hair. Other people don't have any hair. Some people are shy. Other people like to talk a lot. But all of these things and more that I could mention show that we are all different. We are all unique. We are all gifted. That's the way God has made us. We're all the same. We all bleed the same way. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. We all need Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We're not saved by nations. We're not saved by race. We're saved by our individual, obedient faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of who we are has nothing to do with the color of our skin. Absolutely nothing. But a lot of it has to do with our upbringing. A lot of it has to do with our choices. A lot of it has to do with the environment that we've surrounded ourselves in. But you know the thing about hatred? It's found in all races. It's found in people of all different color skin. But you know what? So is faith. So is an obedient faith in Jesus Christ. Those are choices. We're not born hating people. We're not born believing in Jesus. All of those are learned, acquired characteristics. One of the children's songs that they love to sing, and I like to sing it with them too, and a lot of us do, hopefully all of us do. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. People who hate generally are people who don't know God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. When John writes this letter to Christians, God's special children, in 1 John 2 and verse 11, he said, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Let's not be so naive or gullible as to think hatred's only out there in the world and it's not in the church. Here, John tells us that a brother in Christ can hate another brother in Christ. And when that's the case, they don't really know God. People who hate. Now, I'm talking about a sinful hatred. I'm not talking about righteous hatred or righteous anger. There's a place to be angry, like in Ephesians 4, and let not the sun go down upon our wrath. It's okay to be angry and to have a righteous sense of anger. That's all fine and good and right. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sinful hatred. I'm talking about what's wrong. people who hate are walking in darkness. And here it's the darkness of hatred. They don't recognize how wrong they are. You know, there are people and places in this world that hate this country. We know that. We don't have to travel very far to learn that there are other countries and other cultures and other nations that hate America. Terrorism, which we live under the threat of more and more, even today. Terrorism is not anything other than one person hating the values of another person. That's all that that is. That's what terrorism is. And people like that who are involved in that, they don't know God. They don't have a clue. And that same thing can be said about some Christians who are prejudiced. That's a sin. It's wrong. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 is a very important verse for us to consider. In connection with this, Galatians 3, verse 28 tells us that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ. Can we imagine a Jew in the first century who was a Christian serving the Lord's Supper to a fellow Christian who was a Gentile? Can we picture that in our minds? I hope we can. Because it was done. Or can we imagine in the master-slave relationship where slavery was the order of the day? Where a master in a worship service who was a Christian handing the collection plate to a slave who was a Christian? Knowing that later on that slave would hand the master his food when they got home? Can we imagine that? Can we picture that? We need to, because it went on. It happened. Why? Because of this verse right here, Galatians 3:28. Because they recognize that spiritually they're all one in Christ. And what that verse tells us is that Jesus is the great equalizer. Spiritually. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, slave or master. It doesn't make any difference to God spiritually. And if it doesn't make any difference to him, it shouldn't make any difference to us either. My observation is that behind hatred is another sin, and that's pride. I'm convinced that pride is behind hatred. Pride says, I'm better than you. Pride blinds us. Pride is foolish. Pride is wrong. Now, I'm not talking about self-esteem. I'm talking about pride. Selfishness, arrogance, haughtiness. I don't need to apologize for being a white male. And the reason why I don't need to apologize for that is because that's part of who I am. And I'm not going to apologize for who I am. And I'm not sure you wouldn't either. That's just a part of who we are. But I'm not going to apologize for the wrong that things that other people do. I'm not going to do that for them. That's on them, not on me. Now, I can pray for them, and I can set a good example for them, and I can tell them about Jesus, who's the Savior of the world, that can save them from their sins. But the bottom line is, I stand by my choices, and you do too. Everybody does. And when I've done wrong, I need to apologize for the wrong that I've done. When you've done wrong, you need to apologize for the wrongs that you have done. Pride doesn't apologize for anything. Because people are too hung up on themselves. They don't think they've done anything wrong. And that brings in another factor of self-deception. Some people have deceived themselves into thinking that they're okay with God, and they really are not. Oh, they're okay with themselves. They'll tell you that. But they don't bother to think if they're in a right relationship with God. That doesn't even enter their mind. And that's sad. Hatred for someone who is different from you and me is wrong. Now, we can be against the sin that someone has committed, but we're not to hate that person. The solution to the problem of hatred is we need to fill our hearts with the love of Jesus. Another song we sing, I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Let me tell you something. Yeah, that's a kid's song, and we like to sing it, and the kids like to sing it. It's a wonderful song, and it's got a good message. When we've got the love of Jesus down in our hearts to stay, we won't be hateful and mean and nasty and cruel to other people. Our hearts need to be filled with Jesus, who is the light of the world. He's not the light of the church, just the light of the church. He's the light of the whole world. He's the Savior of the body, yes, the Savior of the church, but He's also the Savior of the whole world. And that's what needs to fill us up, and that's the message that needs to be spread everywhere. And that's the message we need to be involved in spreading everywhere. When I find myself tempted to be mean and hateful and angry in a sinful way, we've all done that, been there, done that. I'm not talking about something that we haven't already expressed or done ourselves, if we be honest about that. But one thing that I try to do when I get that temptation boiling up in me to be hateful to somebody, I just have to step back, get somewhere by myself, and take a deep breath and calm down. Calming down is very important. This mob mentality that was displayed in Charlottesville, Virginia recently, that mob mentality runs without people thinking a whole lot about what they're doing. The only solution to that kind of thing is Jesus Christ. We need to learn to love one another. Hatred is a choice. Hatred is something we learn. Hatred is wrong. Hatred is characteristic of a dark heart. It's not of God. The thing, though, about hatred, though, sinful hatred, it can be and must be stopped. And let me share with you something simple about where it's going to stop. It's not going to come from the White House. It's not going to come from the schoolhouse. It's not going to come from the courthouse. It's going to come from our hearts by choice we make to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16, John declared, God is love. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. Have we forgotten that? I hope not. Like I said earlier, it's time, or maybe it's even past time, for us to remember that. When we find ourselves guilty of this sinful work of the flesh, the key word there is repentance. To realize that it's wrong, to admit it, and to forsake it. Sometimes it's a struggle for us to do that. But that's okay. It's worth the struggle. It's not true, once a hater, always a hater. No. A hater can become a lover. The opposite of that is true too. Because it boils down to a choice. The right choice is to love. The wrong choice is to hate. This afternoon, if you're not a Christian, if you love God with all your heart, there won't be anything to keep you from coming down this aisle as we sing this invitation song to make your life and heart right with God. What that entails is that you acknowledge your sinful behavior and your need for God's grace and mercy and love. And for you to accept that, you need to respond by obeying what Jesus says to do to be saved. And that involves faith in Jesus, repentance from sin, confessing faith in Jesus, and being baptized, being immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You can become a child of God right now. If as a Christian you've been guilty of this sin, it'd be of a public nature or any sin as far as that's concerned, it's common knowledge. The way to rectify that, to make that right, is to repent of your wrongs, to confess those sins, to pray and ask God for forgiveness. Or if you find yourself struggling with something that you're dealing with in life, that you need help, that you want the prayers of Christians to strengthen you and help you and encourage you, we're here to help you with that. We're a family. And we love each other. And when we love each other, we'll be here for each other and we'll support each other in all that's good and right to do. So if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.